Hello, I'm Kurt Becker. Thanks for joining me as I take another stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. She broke American and world records at two and was considered one of the greatest distaffers of her generation. And each year in the spring, she is remembered with a race in her honor at Aqueduct Racecourse in New York. Her name was Top Flight. Foaled on April 15, 1929 in Kentucky, Top Flight was bred by Harry Payne Whitney but passed to his son Cornelius Vanderbilt Whitney when the elder Whitney died in the fall of 1930. The filly sire, D-Donk, was described by one journalist as utterly useless as a racehorse, with claims that the Whitney family had repeatedly sought to lease him as a stallion to outside interests. Fly at it, the filly's dam won 5 of 10 starts as a juvenile and was a daughter of Belmont Stakes winner Peter Pan. Making her debut as a juvenile on June 17, 1931 at Aqueduct, Top Flight opened her career with a victory in the Clover Stakes, covering 5 furlongs in the mud in 58 seconds flat. The time missed the track record by just 3/5 of a second. Trained by Tom Healy and ridden by Slim Robertson, Top Flight made her second start on July 8th in Chicago, this time defeating 14 foes to win the featured Lassie Stakes at Arlington Park. She got the 5.5 furlongs in 1:05 1/5 seconds, a time just 1/5 of a second off the track record. Now with 2 wins from 2 starts, Top Flight went to Saratoga in August of 1931 and won her third start, this time beating colts in the Saratoga Special as the odds-on favorite. And now, the debate was on. Within just 3 career starts, there were racing fans ready to declare Top Flight the second coming of Regret, the only filly at that time ever to win the Kentucky Derby, and herself a filly raced by the Whitney family. On the other side of the debate were people who insisted that not only was Top Flight not a future Derby contender, but also she was highly overrated because she had only beaten colts one time and they were perceived to be a weak bunch. One reporter said the field Top Flight had beaten in the Saratoga Special was similar to a pack of old army mules without ambition. Another reporter said, "Top Flight is simply not impressive. She's a plain brown filly who is ordinary in size and substance. She is small, light-boned, and not particularly muscular." But even one of those critics grudgingly added a caveat, saying, "I will concede that Top Flight has a long, sweeping stride close to the ground, no lost motion in the way she goes. In fact, she does move with fine, smooth action." That way of going would help Top Flight remain unbeaten through the remainder of her juvenile campaign. Following the Saratoga Special, she beat her own sex in the Spinaway and the Matron Stakes before beating males in the 2 richest juvenile races in America, the Futurity at Belmont Park and the Pimlico Futurity in Maryland. In fact, Belmont's Futurity for a purse of $125,000 was billed as the richest horse race in the world. Top Flight completed her 2-year-old season with 7 wins in 7 starts and earnings of $219,000. It made her the richest 2-year-old in American history and the richest filly or mare in the history of thoroughbred racing anywhere on the planet. She also broke the stakes record in the Pimlico Futurity by better than 2-fold seconds in front of a crowd which included Maryland Governor Albert Ritchie as well as Vice President of the United States Charles Curtis. Top Flight would be installed as the Winter Book favorite for the Kentucky Derby at odds of 4-1 on the strength of that juvenile campaign. But she suffered her first defeat in her 3-year-old debut, finishing 4th against males in the Wood Memorial 1 week before the Run for the Roses. 2 days later, it was announced that she had been withdrawn from consideration for the Derby. Top Flight would go 0-4 against colts during her 3-year-old season, but she remained unbeaten for her career against her own sex. Her victories would include the Acorn Stakes at a mile, the Coaching Club American Oaks at 1 3/8, the Arlington Oaks at 1 1/8, and the Alabama Stakes at 1 1/4. She was the odds-on favorite in each of those races and was ridden to each of those wins by Sonny Workman. When Top Flight's retirement from racing was announced the following year, she went to the sidelines with a record of 12 wins in 16 starts and earnings of $275,000. Those numbers made her the richest distaffer in the history of the world by a margin of $80,000, and she retired as the 6th richest thoroughbred ever in the United States. Top Flight soon thereafter became a member of the Whitney Broodmare Band, but never produced more than a minor stakes winner. She had her final foal in 1946, and she died 3 years later at the age of 20. Inducted into the U.S. Racing Hall of Fame in the 1960s, she was also named champion filly at both 2 and 3 in retrospective fashion by a Blood Horse magazine panel of experts. But what about the critics? What about those skeptics in the press who covered her races in the early 1930s? One of her most outspoken critics, a columnist for the Brooklyn Daily Eagle, admitted in December of 1933 that Top Flight had won him over. He said, "Top Flight is the wonder filly of racing history. She is the man of war of her sex, an extraordinary horse in every bone and muscle. She is the princess par excellence of the turf." Please join me again next week when I take another stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. For HRRN, I'm Kurt Becker.